Hey, hello guys. Today we're going to talk about medications that you should consider taking with you as a digital nomad. But I would like to issue the quick disclaimer that all the information in this episode is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. We are not doctors, thus you should always double-check the information provided here concerning medications with a health professional. Hey, hello. Welcome to the Nomad Tactics podcast. Here I provide a complete how-to guide for digital nomads. I'm your host, B, and I'm joined by the co-host, Jack. Today, we're going to talk about which medications to bring with you as a digital nomad. I will start with a quick summary of the episode. First, me and Jack are going to talk about the specific aim of this episode. After that, we're going to contextualize the topic within our digital nomad life system. Then we're going to quickly talk about why should you consider taking medication with you as a digital nomad. Following that, we will talk about where to carry your medication. Then we will have a discussion about how to use such medication in the context of a digital nomad life. Subsequently, we're going to talk about some general precautions and observations to do with medication. And finally, we're going to talk about the list of basic medications we advise digital nomads to have with them. I hope you enjoyed the episode.
So, hello, Mr. B.
Hello, Jack.
So, the aim of today's episode is, what's the approach for carrying medicine with you as a digital nomad? And also want to make a list of what kind of medicine you should bring with you.
Sure. And yeah, that's the aim of today's episode. I just would like to make the quick observation that today we are strictly talking about medications, and we will have future episodes to talk about other health-related things like vaccines and other health-related items or supplements. But today, it's simply medications.
So yeah, I think as usual, we should probably put this topic into our digital nomad life system. And for people who don't know what the system is, it is a six-step system that aims to help people going from a normal life into a digital nomad life. So Mr. B, would you put this topic into which step of the system?
So I think the topic today would fit the first step of our digital nomad life system. And the first step is called the nomadic life prep. The nomadic life prep can be understood as all the actions that someone needs to take beforehand to optimally transition from this normal, stable life to his soon-to-be digital nomad life. And of course, there are many areas that it's relevant for someone to think about. So there are certain things related to finances, logistics, and even psychology. The topic today would fit this first step of our system because the medications is one of these things you gotta figure out and think about in terms of what you're gonna put in your luggage, in your bag, right? What things you're gonna carry with you. And that should be done before you start your digital nomad journey. From time to time, of course, you're going to need to top up your medication or substitute because they have an expire date. But overall, I would say it fits best this first step of our digital nomad life system.
So, Mr. B, I just want to ask a question. Why should I bring medication with me? Can I just see a doctor or go to a pharmacy in the country I'm going?
So, yeah. You could have this approach to do with medications of whenever you need something, you go to whatever pharmacy you find in the place you are at that moment. But all things considered, I think that's a somewhat risky move to not carry any medication whatsoever with you as a digital nomad. And there are a couple of reasons for that. The first one is that by carrying medication with you, you're going to have it very handy for your use. The other reason why I would avoid looking for medication in whatever place you are is because sometimes acquiring medication is a little bit bureaucratic. So you're going to need to go through a process of perhaps going to a doctor first. It's not like such a straightforward thing. Another thing to consider is that sometimes medications are not available around the globe. So maybe if you are looking for a specific type of drug, a specific type of substance to use, perhaps you're not going to find in the place you are at that very moment. Another reason why I think you should carry medications with you instead of trying to get in whatever place you are is because nowadays it's becoming less and less problematic to carry medication and cross borders with it as the world is becoming more and more globalized. So if you go back a couple of decades, the immigration would be a bit more strict about it. But nowadays, people are becoming more and more permissible in terms of carrying medications around. Finally, one last reason is because by trying to acquire in the country, it might be more costly to do so. Because as we said, perhaps you're going to need to go to a doctor first to get some sort of medical prescription to get access to medications. And going to doctors in many parts of the world might be a costly thing.
Yeah, Mr. B, so you just said it does make sense to bring your medicine with you. So I think the following question is, where should I put my medication? So in theory, it is okay to take my medication with me in my luggage and my checked luggage. So how should I choose?
So yeah, as you said, it's okay in both. So there is no rule that determines you should carry your medication either in your carry-on luggage or in your checked luggage. I think there are some pros and cons for each. So let's start with the carry-on luggage. What would be the benefits of taking your medication in the carry-on? First benefit is that you're going to have access to your medications throughout your flight. And so whatever, if you need something throughout the flight, you can get there. The next benefit about taking your medications in your carry-on is that you're not going to lose your medications whatsoever. On the other hand, if you take your medications on the checked luggage, you might lose all of them because sometimes checked luggage get lost. And as we established in the previous section, it might be difficult for you to acquire all those medications again. Finally, a third reason to take your medications in your carry-on luggage is that the medications won't go through such a variance in temperature in the same way that would happen in the storage area of the plane. So if you have your medications in your carry-on luggage, they're going to be in the cabin with you and the temperature there is more or less stable. On the other hand, in the storage area of the plane where the checked luggage stay, there is a lot of variance. So it can go from very hot to very cold. And this change in temperature is not very good for the medication and it might impact the effectiveness of such medication. Even though taking the medications in your carry-on luggage might have all these benefits, there is one big drawback, is that if you take the medications in your carry-on luggage, the immigration officer might scrutinize more exactly what you're carrying. That might be a more time-consuming thing, since he's going to go through, he's going to look at the labels, and you're going to see exactly what you're carrying, and you know, you're going to spend some time there. So yeah, just something to consider. Anyway, to summarize the section, there is not a clear-cut answer in terms of carrying your medications in your carry-on luggage or your checked luggage. Me personally, I'm carrying the majority of my medications in the checked luggage. But just some of the medications, the ones that I might need within the plane, such as motion sickness meds or painkillers, stuff like that, I put on in my carry-on, as well as any substance that might require a medical prescription. This I also take in the carry-on because, you know, if someone has a problem with it, I can show all the prescriptions.
Yeah, it makes sense to bring the medication you might need with you on the airplane. So the next question is a bit dumb. How should I use the medication, Mr. B?
The reason why I created this section is because since you will be traveling with a reasonable amount of different drugs, things might get a little bit confusing. That is why I think it's relevant to talk about how to use the medication. The way in which I would advocate digital nomads to use their medication is the following. Once they buy everything back in their home countries, they should write down a cheat sheet, a guidance sheet, whatever you want to call, of all the relevant information concerning these meds. And in this cheat sheet, I would include a couple of different things, such as the brand name, so that's the label in which it's going to be written down in the package, as well as the drug name, so that's the active substance or compound that going to give the desired effect. Apart from that, I would write down if it's a kind of medication you can simply take by yourself. So this tend to be the over-the-counter medications, or if it's the kind of medication you should always double check with a doctor to see if it's relevant to the specific condition in which you're feeling. I would also write down the situations where it's relevant to use, because again, you're going to have a lot of different meds. You're going to get a bit confused. Oh, should I use this for a stomachache or this for a headache? Next thing I would write down is the dosage. So what is the minimum dosage to be effective? The quote-unquote normal dosage, the usual dosage, as well as the maximum dose. So what's the maximum amount you can take without having bad side effects? Other thing I would write down is some precautions or instructions. So for the majority of drugs, there is no specific guidelines you need to follow when you're taking the medication. But for some drugs, there might be. So for instance, if you're talking about the malaria prophylactic drug, doxycycline, you cannot take such medication with milk because, as far as I understand, that decreases the effectiveness of the drug. So for certain drugs, you might need to write instructions like that. Maybe you can take it just before going to bed. Anyway, the general idea is that you should write down all this information that I just provided, and then you're going to have quick reference to it whenever you need to take a medication. Another point that I would like to make in this section about how to take medication has to do with making consultation with doctors. The majority of drugs, especially the over-the-counter drugs, it is fine for you to, you know, self-medicate. Nonetheless, it might make sense to consult with a doctor before taking a medication, either because you're not sure if the medication you intend to take is relevant in that specific condition, or because it's a stronger type of medication. Then it comes the good news. Even though COVID-19 was overall a very bad thing, there are some upsides that came from this global pandemic. One of such upsides is the popularization of remote medical consultations, which means that nowadays, more and more doctors are okay for you to have a consultation over the phone or a video call. So you're going to arrange this consultation to talk with him about taking a certain med to see if it's relevant and to see if it's safe. My advice here would be for you to talk to your home GP or whatever doctor you trust and explain to him the situation. Say you're going to start to live remotely, and perhaps you might require remote consultations once in a while with him. Thus, you can get a more direct way to reach him, perhaps through FaceTime or WhatsApp. An alternative method, of course, would be to, you know, find a friend of yours that is a doctor, or a family member that is a doctor, and you can do pretty much the same thing. So that would be perhaps the ideal approach with medical consultations on the road as a digital nomad. But as a last resort, of course, you can always contact your health insurance and book a consultation in the country. Nonetheless, this is surely the most time-consuming option because, of course, you're going to need to, you know, first contact the health insurance, book a consultation with a doctor, and you got to hope he knows the medication in which you're going to ask him about. By the way, if you still haven't got a health insurance, that's something we strongly advise all digital nomads to have, not only for consultations to do with medications, but overall for any health problem you might have on the road. And the ones we recommend is Safety Wings. It's a very good health insurance I have used for a couple of years now. So I'm going to leave a link on the show notes if you want to check out this specific health insurance called Safety Wings.
Yeah, the idea of medication cheat sheet is very good. So the next section is general precaution and observation about carrying medication as a digital nomad. So the first point is check for banned medication in the country you're going.
Yeah, that's a very, very important point. Especially if you're carrying controlled substances or like substances that you need a medical prescription to have, you should always check if the country in which you are going does not ban that substance altogether. So in some countries, if you bring certain medications, that would be actually considered a crime. So for instance, the paramount example is the painkiller codeine. So codeine is a quite strong painkiller that in some parts of the world is considered a narcotic. So if I'm not mistaken, Russia and some places in the Middle East banned this medication altogether. So it's always a good idea to go to Google and search for banned medications in whatever country in which you're going to see if there is anything that you're carrying with you that might be a problem.
So the next item is have prescription for your medication.
Yeah, I think this is a really, really important point. If you carrying any controlled sort of medication, you should always carry together with it the medical prescription from your doctor back in your home country. And the reason for that is because if in immigration anyone gets that medication, ask for you why are you carrying this, you're going to have the medical justification then and there to show to the immigration officer. By doing that, usually he's going to allow you to keep the controlled medication.
So the next point is be careful with pharmaceutical compounding.
So pharmaceutical compoundings are the kinds of medications that were personally made for you by a chemist. So it has a specific dosage and a specific combination of different substances there. The reason why you should be careful with pharmaceutical compoundings is because they won't come in, let's say, industrial packaging. Therefore, the authorities at an airport will be way strict about it. Perhaps if you have the option to substitute pharmaceutical compoundings to avoid this extra scrutiny by the authorities, you should substitute by their industrialized alternative.
So the next point is keep the medication in the original package.
So the idea here is that you should keep whatever medication you're carrying in its original package. And what I mean by the original package is not necessarily the box, but at the very least, the package where the pills are placed on. So the kind of tray of pills. And the reason why it's so important to keep in the original package is that if you put in a different container, the immigration and the border control will be way more strict about what you're carrying because it won't have any original packaging and that pills might be anything. So by keeping the medications in the original packaging, you're going to avoid this extra scrutiny by the authorities.
So the next point is be mindful about sharing medication with people on the road.
If you're sharing medication with people on the road and if something happened, you might be legally responsible for that. I know an instance where someone had a controlled substance, was a painkiller, and he shared with someone, the person had to go to the hospital. The guy that provided the medication got in trouble because that was a controlled substance, as I said. So I'm not saying you can't share, but just be very mindful who you're sharing with and how strong the medication is.
So the next point is avoid carrying too much medication with you.
There are two reasons why it's important to avoid carrying excessive amounts of medication. The first one is that if an immigration officer catches you with too much medication, he might think you intend to sell such medication. The other reason why is because probably a lot of these medications will expire before you use. And once that's happened, you're simply going to throw them away. So there's no point having so much with you all the time. It's better to have smaller quantities of all the different drugs. And when it's close to expiration or when you finish one of such drugs, you buy more.
So the next point is be aware of the expiration date of the medicine.
So this is kind of related to the previous point. Sometimes you're buying medication and if it's expiring, let's say in 4 months, which means you're going to need to replace whatever medication you're taking. So it's always a good idea before you buy it, always check on the package to see if you have at least, let's say, 1 year to the expiration, and that should be fine.
Yeah, so let's go into the main topic of today, the list of drugs that we think you should bring with you. And just to be clear, we're not medical professional, so these are just the advice we're sharing. Be sure to take that into account.
Sure, that's a very good point. So always double check whatever you're saying to do with medications with a health professional. Here, it's simply what we do in terms of medication. Let's start with the list. Just 3 quick points I would like to make about this list of medications. The first one is that it's a very generic list. So we are simply providing generic medications that we think make sense for a digital nomad to carry. Of course, if you have any sort of special medical condition, say diabetes, high cholesterol, any medical condition, you might need to top off this list with any extra medications you might need. So this is not an exhaustive list. Another point I'd like to make is that perhaps some of the medication we advise you to bring with you, you never took before. A very good advice here that actually I received from a doctor is that you should always try a medication for the first time in your home country. And the reason for that is because you want to avoid the possibility of allergies. So you should take a medication at least once in your home country, because if you have any sort of allergy, you're going to have a hospital near you, you know where to go. If you take a medication and nothing happen, you know that most likely if you take in the future, you won't have any allergic reaction. The third point I would like to make is that in the list that we are about to provide, we won't necessarily provide brand names for the medications. Rather, we're going to talk about the class of drug. So what is the problem the specific type of medication is trying to tackle? And sometimes we're going to provide some drug names of relevant medications. But the reason why we're not going to provide brand names is because, of course, the brand names will change from country to country. So some brand names will be available in the US, slightly different names will be available in the UK or Australia. If you are interested in specific brand names, what we will do is to provide some links on the show notes, but we won't be mentioning those on the podcast.
Yeah, Mr. B, so let's go over the list of the over-the-counter medication. The first thing you wrote here is motion sickness medication.
So as a digital nomad, of course, you're going to take a lot of public transportation. This might be train, buses, car, airplanes. And by taking public transportation, you might feel motion sickness. So it makes a lot of sense to have motion sickness medication. The only thing that I would mind about motion sickness medication is that it might cause drowsiness or sleepiness as a side effect. So that's just something to consider.
So the next medication is diarrhea medication.
So as digital nomads, once in a while, you might eat something that doesn't sit right. Therefore, this might lead to diarrhea later on. Sometimes the medical advice when you have diarrhea is to allow yourself to actually have it and not try to prevent that. And the rationale behind that, as far as I understand from talking to doctors, is that you need to eliminate whatever is bothering you inside your body. But in some cases, you won't have the possibility to stay in the toilet that long. Therefore, you're going to need to prevent the diarrhea somehow. So taking diarrhea medication is going to make sense. Let's say you are in a public transport, like an airplane. The only thing to mind here about diarrhea medication is that you should not take this kind of medication if you have a fever with it.
So the next medication is anti-nausea medication.
So in the same way that when you eat something bad, you might upset your intestine, it might also upset your stomach. And in that case, you might feel nauseated. You might want to vomit, especially if you have something like a sort of food poisoning. So having anti-nausea medication as a digital nomad makes a lot of sense, especially for circumstances where you can't vomit. The specific drug that I used before in instances where I had food poisoning and that greatly helped me is called metoclopramide. And this drug is over-the-counter in some countries, and it's a controlled drug in other countries. So you should check in the case of your country if you can have easy access to it or not.
So the next one is allergy medication.
So allergy medication, or what is called antihistaminic medication, is the kind of meds you're going to use to fight allergic reactions. So allergic reactions should be understood in a very broad sense. For instance, it might be something you ate that you were allergic to and you didn't know. It can be also something more mundane or day-to-day, like being exposed to a specific type of dust. It might also be when you are bit by certain types of bugs. In some people, this might trigger an allergic reaction. So this antihistaminic drug has this very broad use to a lot of different allergic reactions. The specific drug that I have been using since I started my travels, and at least for me, it works great, is called cetirizine. And I believe in most countries, this is a over-the-counter drug.
So the next one is laxative medication.
So laxative medication, it's useful against constipation, right? It helps you to go to the toilet. It is actually a quite common problem among travelers and digital nomads. And this is due to a number of reasons, such as the sudden change in schedule, the high stress levels, the changes in your diet, among other things. Laxative medications can help you with this constipation, so it's always a good idea to have with you as a traveler.
So the next one is skin infection cream medication.
So skin infection creams are kind of medication you might apply to your skin for a number of conditions. Some of these creams, they can fight against both bacteria and funguses. And also they have a corticoid on it, therefore it also reduces inflammation. I think carrying a skin infection cream is very important because as a traveler, again, you're going to be exposed to all sorts of conditions and it's not unusual to have some sort of skin infection. Therefore, if you have this medication, you can always apply on it. Especially because, as I said, many of these creams also have corticoid on it. If you are bitten by insects, you can also apply on it in order to reduce the inflammation.
So the next one is fever reducer and painkiller medication.
So fever and pain are conditions that might afflict anyone, not only digital nomads. Nonetheless, since this type of medication is so basic, it's also important for digital nomads to have it. Some examples of fever reducers and painkiller medication is the common drugs aspirin, ibuprofen, and paracetamol.
So the next one is anti-inflammatory medicine.
So anti-inflammatory drugs are closely related to the previous category of fever reducers and painkillers. And that's because many of the fever reducers and painkillers are also anti-inflammatory drugs. So for instance, paracetamol, it's not an anti-inflammatory drug. It's only a fever reducer and a painkiller. But other drugs like aspirin and ibuprofen are also anti-inflammatory drugs. If you listen to our episode number 22, where we talked about the principles of choosing what to bring with you as a digital nomad, you might remember that we talked about the principle of versatility. And this principle basically states that you should aim to have things that have versatile utility as much as possible. In other words, you should always prefer items that have different uses rather than a single one. With that principle in mind, you might consider that drug like aspirin or ibuprofen is a better fit as a digital nomad because it have multiple uses rather than a single one like paracetamol. The only caveat I would make about anti-inflammatory drugs is that you should avoid taking too much of such drugs because this might have quite serious side effects to your kidneys, to your stomach, in terms of bleedings and stuff like that. So just try to take as little as possible.
So the next one is cramps and stomach ache medication.
So yeah, again, a more general use kind of medication. Of course, cramps and stomach aches don't only afflict digital nomads. It can afflict anyone. But since it's such a common problem, I think it makes sense for you to carry medication to help you with such condition.
So the next one is antiseptic eye drop.
So this is, of course, medication for your eyes. And the reason why I'm specifically talking about antiseptic eye drops, it's because sometimes this kind of eye drops can fight against very light forms of viral conjunctivitis. And that might happen on the road. So I would look for eye drops that have zinc in their formula because it's a form of antiseptic.
Yeah, Mr. B. So we had to go over the over-the-counter medication. So now let's go into the control medication. Are there any important drugs that digital nomads should be aware of?
Yeah, so I think there are a couple of drugs in this more controlled medications category, this category where probably you're going to need a medical prescription in order to access these medications. So the first thing that I wrote here, and perhaps the most important, is a quote-unquote generic use antibiotic. So antibiotics, of course, are medications that you use against bacteria, right? If you have a bacteria infection, you're going to use an antibiotic. And some antibiotics have a more specific use. Other antibiotics, as far as I understand, are more generic in their uses. So they can treat a number of different conditions. So of course, it makes sense for you as a digital nomad to carry around a more generic use antibiotic because you don't know which specific condition you might eventually want to treat on the road. The specific one in which I have used over the years is called amoxicillin. So it's a very common and popular antibiotic. Of course, you should talk to a doctor to get the prescription for those. Explain to him you're going to be traveling around and you would like to have some amoxicillin with you. And before taking it, perhaps always consult with a doctor.
So the next medicine is anti-malaria prophylaxis.
Malaria is, of course, a mosquito-borne disease. And we have talked about mosquito-borne diseases back on episode 24. If you are interested on the topic, I would advise you to have a listen. So malaria is a very common mosquito-borne disease. And the problem is that this disease is very common in many popular digital nomad areas or hubs like Southeast Asia. So it makes sense to you to carry around some prophylaxis for malaria. And prophylaxis simply means a medication that you're going to take to decrease the likelihood of contracting the disease. There are a number of different drugs you can take as prophylaxis for malaria, such as hydroxychloroquine, doxycycline, among others. So it's just something to consider. Perhaps carry around some anti-malaria prophylaxis. And to acquire this type of medication, in some countries, you can do over-the-counter, and in others, you're going to need a medical prescription.
So the next medication is LTDU sickness medication.
So this is perhaps the most specific kind of medication in the list. Altitude sickness is something that afflicts some individuals. It's a problem for some individuals, not for others. But nonetheless, if you're considering to go and to establish a base for a couple of months in a very high altitude place, let's say Nepal or Peru, I think it makes sense to carry with you some altitude sickness medication. Usually, again, these are more controlled type of medication, so you're going to need a medical prescription.
So the next medication is traveler's diarrhea antibiotic.
So as I talked about in the beginning of this episode, diarrhea is a problem that you might encounter as a digital nomad, right? You're going to be eating in a lot of different places and you don't know the hygiene standards of such places sometimes. In very extreme cases of traveler's diarrhea, you might be required to take antibiotics. And there are certain antibiotics that are advised for this kind of condition. The one that I have seen some doctors advising is azithromycin, which is a specific antibiotic. So again, if you want to be prepared for this kind of condition, you can carry around azithromycin with you. So I guess that's the end of the list of the more essential control medication that a digital nomad might consider taking. Of course, over the years, I have seen digital nomads carrying other types of controlled medication, such as sleeping medication for jet lag and corticoids for stronger allergies, even strong painkillers in the case of an accident, or even anxiety medication, because some people get really anxious when they are traveling, right? Especially in the beginning. So they think it's a good idea to have some of those available. So the important thing here to keep in mind is that these controlled types of substances might be banned in some countries. And so you should always check before you go to a new destination if the controlled substances you're taking are allowed there or not.
So yeah, Mr. B, it seems like this is the end of the episode. Do you want to add anything?
I just hope the list of medications we provided, as well as the general advice, going to be helpful for digital nomads. once again, double check the information with doctors, because this is only for educational purposes and only the medications we carry individually as digital nomads. We are not doctors ourselves, but we hope we can provide some light in the topic.
Yeah, so if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to leave a review on your listening platform. This is Jack, and thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.